Hello, and welcome to Nintendo Report Connectivity, episode 337. And we have a Nintendo Direct, boys. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, joined, as always and usual, by John Raritan and Alex DeFreitas.
Howdy.
Hello. That is very like very similar to my intro for my Fire Emblem Engage discussion.
We have a Nintendo Direct, fellas.
Yep.
Mates, buddies, guy.
I said gentlemen.
So I have a bone to pick with a lot of this discourse about this Nintendo Direct and all this stuff before TGS. People talking about how it's E3. Where do you think, if this was a Nintendo E3 presentation, where do you think it would rank?
Probably the one of the weakest ones they've had. Yeah, like, so there was one, I think it was 2016, that I found
where it was just
pretty
Zelda.
Meh. Yeah, it's in that category. Like, where there's a couple good things. You're like, Daemon X Machina and Starlink. Cool.
Honestly, it kind of reminds me of E3 2008, which was a bad E3.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not as bad as E3 2008, because that was Ravi Drums. That was Wii Music.
Yeah,
that was Animal Crossing
City. I wouldn't go that low with it.
Why I make that comparison is I believe E3 2008 was the one where Miyamoto famously like slapped a table, stood up, and said, "We're making Pikmin." That has the same energy.
That was actually when he announced
reveal.
Pikmin 4 was way back in 2008.
Yeah. I don't know. This is what, maybe like a C? I feel like my perspective is skewed because I got a Fire Emblem and some Zelda news out of it. You know, albeit the Zelda news being kind of weak.
I think this is a case of like they almost did the Xbox thing a little bit, where a lot of things happened in this Direct. I don't remember most of them, and few of them mattered.
I kind of feel like they
would have got crucified if they did a Direct Mini after not doing an E3 Direct, but I kind of feel like if this was a Direct Mini and you had maybe 1/4 the number of headlines and you just went through like Zelda and Pikmin and Fire Emblem and Kirby and GoldenEye, the end, like, that,
it would have been
that,
more, I think it would have been more worked. Impactful was the fact that, like, I think what the final runtime was like 42 minutes. Yep. I think they showed off 50 games or something preposterous like that. And it just gets to a point where, like, I don't know what the sweet spot is. I think it's definitely way less than 50 games as far as like, all right, we're going to announce a bunch of things. You get to a certain point where it just becomes noise. And yep. I think that's what we reached with this Direct. And it is, I mainly only dunk on it in the E3 reference because, like, if this was an E3 Direct, I think we would be like lighting Nintendo on fire. Because, like, in that red, but this Direct did not have to be an E3 quality Direct. It was fine. I think it just, as I come farther away from it, now we're recording this like a day and a half after it, I'm just like, oh, like, there were some really cool things in there. Glad to get a Zelda release date. But, like, that was it. We've been waiting how long for what?
The thing about the Zelda release date is I see a lot of people like, oh, sweet. And it's like, that's the least newsworthy thing out of this Direct because they won't hit it. Like you can throw whatever date you want at Zelda and it doesn't matter because the odds of them actually hitting that date are low.
I believe pre-Direct, if you were to tell me, are they going to hit first half, like spring 2023, which I believe was their release window before this Direct. If you were to tell me before the Direct, what are the odds of it hitting in spring 2023? I would have said 50-50. Now that they actually gave it a date, I'd say 75-25.
Yeah. We'll see. We need to start a betting pool.
I believe we did that for Breath of the Wild and TYP won because he like was like, I think it's going to come out super, super late. And no one else was even close. Because everybody was like 2015.
Yeah. Poor bastards.
But yeah, I mean, like, there were good announcements, and to your point, Alex, like I think that the Fire Emblem Engage coming out, that's the January game, right?
Yep, January 20th.
Yeah, that was a good announcement, and I liked the way that they unveiled that, showcased it, showed it off. I wish they had more exciting reveals in line of that. Like, I'm stoked about Pikmin 4. We saw almost nothing of Pikmin 4.
I like that it was preceded by 2 minutes of talking about Pikmin Bloom.
Yeah, I do. Like, that is really funny, but also, like, the middle of this direct did have, like, I think it was, I don't think I'm exaggerating, I think it was 3 or 4 minutes on Pikmin Bloom before they got to Pikmin 4.
But the beautiful trolling of Miyamoto walking out and being like, I'm here to talk about Pikmin, it's on your phone.
Yeah.
And just, you could feel just 1,000 voices crying out in pain.
No, first he came out and said, I'm going to bring up the Mario movie, and then be like, I have nothing to announce about it. We're just working on it. I'm going to talk about Pikmin, a game that's already been out for over a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're going to show you like 5 seconds of a nice looking Bulborb and environment. And then I do love we get the press release after these things happen, and the press release, you know what, I'm going to go find it and bring it up, because it tickled my fancy so much, of just how they like try to like build this mystery around Pikmin 4. The first sneak peek at the next game of the Pikmin franchise revealed a tranquil park and a napping Bulborb, but it was still missing one important element. Pikmin. Where could they be? More details on this new title for Nintendo Switch will be revealed ahead of its 2023 launch. I love how they're like, is Pikmin going to be in Pikmin?
Right. I will say, I've watched this trailer a couple times. They don't put a like in-engine graphics thing at the bottom or anything. It looks a little too good to be in engine, but like not by that much.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
these are probably assets.
Pikmin 3 looks gorgeous.
It looks beautiful. Until you get the camera close to the ground.
Yeah.
Which is kind of this one's pitch.
Yeah, the whole point is we're gonna
be able to be more on the Pikmin's level on the camera, which like
I'm into that.
Are you? Like, isn't the game like almost not, RTS is a wrong word, but it's a resource management, your strategic game.
I'm kind of assuming either we shift the gameplay, which you're on game 4, go for it.
That's fair.
Or it's a toggle. But I started playing what's it called? Tinykin, which is on Game Pass. It's also on Switch.
There's a demo on Switch.
And it's kind of like a 3D platformer Pikmin game type thing. It's very Pikmin inspired, but it's because the camera is low down behind your camera, it's more of a 3D platformer, and it works really well. So if Pikmin wanted to do something a bit more like that, I would be totally down for it.
Yeah, I mean, like Pikmin 4, I'm happy that exists. They barely showed anything, and I'm happy
they
to get
did throw a year on it.
Yeah, they did say 2023, and I feel like with that, with how Nintendo has been with those kind of dates, I feel like probably at worst that'll be early 2024.
I am concerned that it's 2023 and yet this was the only trailer we got. Like, if this is coming out next year, even if it's coming out Christmas of next year, there should be something in engine or the only thing they showed that looked like it could be gameplay was a still image of the camera angle.
Yeah, at this point we should have like a 30-second tease at least.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be as concerned about that, just because Nintendo's weird about marketing games far off in advance unless they're Zelda, in which case they'll give us like 30 seconds every 6 months.
That's the thing, though, is this isn't that far off in advance. Like, it's a year at most.
It's far enough in advance. It is likely, I would say, like June next year at the earliest. Very easily, you could do like another like a fuller official trailer in early 2023, have your overview video. I mean, if you look at the timing for what they've done marketing for basically every game now, there's some kind of light introductory trailer, depending on how long the timeline is. Sometimes it's like, Switch Sports or Xenoblade, where you get that trailer and the game's out like 3 months later. But then they just have that slow ramp up where then they'll have that overview trailer that comes out like you know, a couple weeks or a month before or whatever.
Splatoon 3 was like a year and a half, right?
Well, Splatoon 3, I think, was that early 2021 when we got that the was, first teaser?
Yeah, February 2021.
Yeah.
But that
that's
was,
like a year and a half.
Yeah, I guess that would be the best, the closest. I was trying to think of another example of a game
that... gameplay. Yeah.
Remember yeah, I was trying to think of another good. Game that... Because this is borderline Metroid Prime 4 levels of, like, it's pretty much a logo.
I mean, it's a little bit more than a logo. I mean, if we're comparing it to Metroid Prime 4, which was literally just a logo...
You see some, I mean, I would say you seeing a garden in Pikmin is roughly equivalent to you seeing space in Metroid. Like, hey, it's going to happen there. Because you're not seeing anything, you're probably not seeing anything in engine. Like, you're not seeing how the game actually looks. You're seeing pre-rendered shot.
That point's fair.
So it's, like, I think this is actually less than Splatoon 3 even, because even that was in engine. Even if it was just a short little animation.
I mean, we don't know if Pikmin 4 is an engine or not. I think
listen, Neil, there are no shadow cascades. There's no, like, the depth of field looks too good. There's no depth of field artifacting around the edges of the fence where it probably would have artifacting. Like, this is not a real-time render on a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. All right, so Pikmin 4 coming out in 2023. Who knows? Maybe there will be Pikmin in it. Let's talk about The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which
I didn't realize that was a debate that people were having until Donald clarified that it was 100% Tears based on the Japanese title.
Oh, we did? Okay, cool. So it is Tears.
Yeah, and the kanji that's used in the Japanese is like tears as in crying. Definitively. Oh, okay. Like those are not the same spelling in their language. So yeah, it's 100% Tears.
Anyway, so Tears of the Kingdom, Topkey. I'm like, what the hell are we gonna call this? Like, I feel like Breath of the Wild kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit more than Tears of the Kingdom. Is like, are we in 10 years are we gonna call this game Kingdom or something, like Zelda Kingdom? I don't know.
I mean, we don't call Breath of the Wild wild.
Yeah, but Breath of the Wild rolls off the tongue more than Tears of the Kingdom.
It took us a while to get to that point. I remember people calling it Breath of the Wind.
I definitely did that. Yep.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, have anyway, faith.
Your tongue will get used to it.
I am stoked for this video game. I hope it does stick to that May release date. It's the kind of thing where I recall being at a similar point with Skyward Sword, where they kept on showing more trailers and having, I mean, at least that had playable demos, because that was a world where we had like events in person and Nintendo had multiple games, sometimes a lot. I just want to play this game. I don't need to see anything else. Mm-hmm. I'd like to play this video game, please.
Well, good news is that despite showing a bunch of trailers for this, they really haven't shown much else.
They kind of just keep showing the same things with, like, yeah, now there's a big glider.
The biggest thing in this was the pre-rendered segment before the trailer even started. The actual gameplay could have been the same gameplay from the E3 2021 trailer, and I wouldn't even be sure. Like, it's so the exact same thing. We still have no idea what the plot of this game, no idea what the really pitch is for. I guess you can go into the sky. That's about as much as we've figured out for new legitimate
mechanics. Someone's
going to
be sad.
Someone's going to be, presumably, a whole kingdom. Yeah. A whole dang kingdom's going to be sad.
Yep.
They just had a calamity and now they're going to have a tragedy? It's that poor kingdom.
I mean, I look forward to, like, what plot that we will be like, how complex is this going to be? Oh, it's actually really straightforward. Okay, cool.
Yeah, at least, hey, we're like 99% sure that they are doing shit with the Zonai now, which is cool. That is
legitimately very cool.
There's like never been another time in a Zelda thing where they've gone like, remember this civilization that we set up in this prior one? What if we did another game where we dug into that? Like, that's cool. Good job, Zelda story team.
Yeah.
Do something cool with it, but, you know, good job.
It probably won't, but it'll be cool. It'll be cool enough that it will inspire us to be like, what if we extrapolate this with previous lore?
Yeah. No, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, honestly, like, I feel like that came off a little bit more down than I wanted it to be. I'm very excited for this, and I like the approach that the Zelda team has with story, because it is very much the, we are going to do this in a way that you can basically draw whatever conclusions you want from it. And I think that's a very fun way to do a video game story.
I'm sure the game will be great. Like, I'm very hyped for the game. I just hate the way it's being marketed. Like, we talked about this a little bit the other day, and it's obviously Nintendo doesn't need to market it at all. They can pretty much show up on launch day with like, this is a Breath of the Wild again. And people will be like, sold. Yeah. But like, as a fan and someone who's obsessed with like the actual stories and everything, like, I would like to know anything about what the plot of this game is, please. Like, please stop showing me the same contextless gameplay. And like, because at this point in Breath of the Wild, we had multiple trailers with like voiceovers that were several minutes long.
Yeah.
That like went into the plot of the game.
Well, I think by this time with Breath of the Wild, I think we had one of those.
We might have had one of them. I think it would have been
E3 2016.
And that was like a 3 or 4 minute long trailer. Like, yeah, that was,
I mean, the Game Awards thing.
They also had playable, but there wasn't any. The Game Awards stuff was just off screen footage. as far as like stuff with voice acting and like actual plot, I think it was that E3 trailer.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that, and then that's when they had the plateau was playable. But I also, once again, as we talked about, I think there was a lot more to prove with Breath of the Wild. They had to have that proof of concept for like, no, we are completely changing up how Zelda games are. See this demo a year before the game comes out. Whereas with this, they're like, listen, we already changed it up. We're doing another one of those. Here's a tease of what twists there will be. Probably check in a couple months before this comes out, where we go into a lot more detail.
At the same time, like, the thing that they had to prove was the gameplay, not the plot. Like,
yeah,
that part of it hasn't changed. I feel like they could pitch the game to me at all, and that would be fine. It wouldn't take away from anything from the gameplay. It would just,
I mean, I would also say, as far as plot wise, I think the reveal trailer of this was probably a good amount of plot, even if there wasn't any dialogue.
It came out and said, hey, the primary antagonist of the Zelda series will be in it, which isn't much of a plot reveal.
I mean, I think that the fact that there is a Ganondorf like figure that will be in this game, after there wasn't in Breath of the Wild,
but that's like a 50-50. I mean,
if there was like a Hyrule King that was just a, like, Ganondorf is back, would that have satisfied you?
No, because I need an actual like premise.
If he said the kingdom is crying and Ganondorf is back,
I need a
the
premise.
Master Sword is broken. Link, go reforge it.
It's Hyrule, exactly as it was before, but slightly different, with shit in the sky. Link, let's go.
But none of that is a premise. All I'm asking for is like an actual, if you're going to pitch the plot of the game in an elevator, that's what I want.
Instead of 100 years, he slept for 50 years, and now he woke up.
He took a power nap.
All right.
I do want to pose a question about this game for y'all. Like, where are your expectations set as opposed to like 2019 when this game was first revealed?
It's been consistently impossibly high. That is where my expectations are.
I feel like I used to be, if this game was just more Breath of the Wild, I feel like I'll be happy. But considering the weight, I'm like, oh, I hope it blows my mind in some other way.
Yo, Alex, we had 20 years. We had 20 years where every 3D Zelda game was essentially the same fucking game. Now they could just do more Breath of the Wild now and I'm good.
I disagree. Like, I mean, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are mechanically very different games. Like, yes, they have similar dungeon setups, but like mechanically, the way they play feels very different. I don't know if I want this to just...
They play very similarly on GameCube. The controls almost map one-to-one from game to game.
Sure, but like, most of the things you can do are different between the two games. Like, yes, you push B to swing the sword.
But
you do that in a lot of games that aren't Zelda too. As far as the things that make it Zelda, there's a lot of mechanical difference between those games.
So this goes to a bigger point that maybe when we start talking about Wind Waker and Twilight Princess in our 3D Zelda Game Club, we're going to be talking about Wind Waker early October. But especially the 3D Zelda games, I've always viewed them as being very evolutionary. Like if you play Ocarina of Time and, you know, go through, you can see the connective tissue from game to game as things evolve and morph. Like the command rod stuff that, you know, kind of shows up first in Wind Waker and then evolves more in Twilight Princess. I think you've also got some of that in Skyward Sword too, but like there's different, like the parrying mechanics then get kind of beefed up from Wind Waker to Twilight Princess. And some of that sword combat evolves and changes a little bit when you get the Skyward Sword. And some of those things even funnel into Breath of the Wild. And I guess what I mean by more Breath of the Wild, it's give me that same kind of evolutionary iteration that we saw from Ocarina of Time to Skyward Sword.
And it'll probably be fine. I'm trying to decide if I think that's enough for, like to Alex's point, we've waited a long time for this game as compared to other Zelda games.
This is the longest wait we've ever had for a 3D Zelda game.
Yeah. So if it does come out and it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's Breath of the Wild, but now you could hop onto this rock and go into the sky.
Okay, no, I was going to say, because it's 2011 to 2017, but it was late 2011 and early 2017. So yeah, it's slightly longer from Skyward Sword to Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild is like a complete, from the ground up, right, rethinking formula.
You can look at that gap and say, that makes sense. Yeah. Whereas if this comes out and it's kind of just Breath of the Wild again, then I can't look at that gap and go, why did that happen?
Thing happened during development.
Yeah, that's definitely
added on a year.
Right. But even then, it would have been a long time for it to be Breath of the Wild again.
Yeah.
Like even without, if you take out the entirety of the COVID affected years, it would still be a long time to just be Breath of the Wild again. So I'm not saying I feel like I'm coming off as very like, bleh, but there is a thought in the back of my head that this game is going to wind up disappointing me just because it's such a long wait for what so far, based on what they've shown, looks a lot like a game that I played in 2017 and liked. But, you know,
I think the one thing that will make this kind of, you know, the evolution of Zelda to Zelda that will make this different in this case is the fact that if you're looking at going from like Ocarina to Majora's to Wind Waker to Twilight Princess, like what's the longest one of those games? 30, 40 hours? What's probably the average like average play time of finishing Breath of the Wild? Like minimum 50? I mean, I guess technically you can go beat Ganon right away, but like actually engaging with the game, like having Breath of the Wild again will be a different level of exhausting than if it's just like Ocarina of Time is just like redone in Twilight Princess. Like, because,
yeah,
I mean, I think you could play Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess back to back and you're still not getting to the length of a Breath of the Wild.
That's fair. We do have him. And this is presumably, we haven't seen more than a few clips of this game, but it seems like Tears of the Kingdom is reusing significant chunks of Breath of the Wild's world, which kind of takes away some of the like, oh, it's big, so it's going to take longer excuse too, just because it's, I don't want it to feel like an expansion pack. If it's Breath of the Wild's world, but also you can go into the sky, like, neat. That feels like a really cool DLC.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I have enough faith, and not even because of how long it's taken, just by how the Zelda team has operated, that even if it took 6 years or 3 years or whatever, like, no, you should use the map that you made for Hyrule again, but you should also change it significantly. Mm-hmm. I think much of the way that it was evident that there was a passage of time from where Breath of the Wild, the world of Breath of the Wild that you only see in flashbacks. You should like have that same world, but maybe it is maybe it is something like the towns are a little bit more bustling because it's that, you know, you're repairing more from the calamity.
Yeah, show me that world coming back to life. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think that's something that, like, I have seen people be concerned that, like, oh, it's just going to be the same map again. And I'm like, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. It all depends on what they do with that. Because I think you could really toy with people's expectations by having it be, like, oh, like, this area that was icy, you know, like, actually, like, something happened to this region that made part of it. Like a volcano sprouted up, like, I don't know, like messing with the terrain, messing with like what enemies show up, what different things are, like maybe the Colosseum thing, like that's different than it was before. Like you could do a lot of things, just toy with expectations and make it more engaging in a different way.
Yeah,
and obviously the land being like torn upwards will change the face of the ground as well.
Oh, good man. Like I want to see what they do.
There's potential
because I mean I think the Zelda team's one of the most talented and creative teams at Nintendo.
Love them or
hate them over the years. I know there's hopefully not on this show because Skyward Sword lovers all here. But like they do some of the wildest shit that Nintendo does.
Mm-hmm. I do hope for the analysis video for this trailer that went up on the YouTube channel a couple days ago, by the time you're hearing this, I booted up Breath of the Wild to go run around in the Zonai ruins to get footage of the different sculptures. And I really, really hope that Breath of the Wild 2 or Tears of the Kingdom runs better, because there is some slowdown in Breath of the Wild. Especially whenever you're in a wooded area.
Yeah, I think the jungle is probably the worst part.
So one of the things that I think might have been the reason why this game took a little bit longer than maybe expected. Remember, Breath of the Wild was a fucking Wii U game.
Absolutely. But if anything, I feel like that should make the Switch version run better.
Well, I mean, I think it's just the you know, and it was also a Wii U game. It was probably, I mean, with the fact that they were cramming to hit Switch launch with that,
there were
probably inherent limitations of the fact that it was a game that was also designed for Wii U for the majority of development. I think an underrated thing as far as why this game is going to take longer and why, like, I don't want to put the cart before the horse and promise that it will be a slowdown free game, but you are right in that Breath of the Wild on Switch, like, does chug at times. Would not be shocked if they kind of had to rebuild the engine.
That's a totally fair point.
And I think it'll be the kind of thing where they will recreate Hyrule from Breath of the Wild in a new engine, and people will be like, oh, I don't know, it looks the same. When, like, there's going to be some programmer at Nintendo being like, do you have any idea what I had to do?
Right. Well, and it's, you know, in fairness, it's all Xenoblade X, but I mean, even between Xenoblade 2 and 3, we saw a huge improvement in that engine. So, yeah, no, that's a totally valid point, that if we see a similar degree of improvement between Breath of the Wild and Breath of the Wild 2 versus Xenoblade 3 or Xenoblade 2 and Xenoblade 3, that would make a huge difference
we probably will.
Oh, also, I did notice from this trailer, in the last trailer, people were talking a lot about the volumetric clouds and how, like, this it must be the Switch Pro, because obviously a Switch can never do volumetric clouds, even though it was the entire basis of Xenoblade 2. I need to go back and rewatch the E3 2021 trailer, but all of the clouds in this were definitely billboards. Like, there was no volumetric cloudage in this trailer. And now I'm trying to decide if the old trailer just fooled me into thinking they were volumetric, or if we just saw different weather conditions, or if they legitimately got pulled back out. I need to dig back into that. But these were definitely 2D billboards, because you could tell on the shot when Link was riding the rock into the sky, like you do, those clouds were constantly rotating to face the camera. They did not appear to be volumetric anymore. I don't know what that means, but just to throw it out there.
I think my what I'm hoping for are more gameplay adjustments. Like, yeah. I think that Breath of the Wild's whole survivalist idea is fantastic for perhaps the first 20 hours of the game. And then the last 80 hours, it doesn't really matter because you have more than enough.
Oh, you're a god.
Yeah. So I would really hope that they kind of tweak the gameplay, whether that's messing with combat or your equipment or inventory. All of that needs to be reworked, I think, if they're going for the same idea. If Tears of the Kingdom is less about the whole, like, I mean, it doesn't even say wild in the title anymore. So maybe this is a different, they're approaching a different aspect of what this idea of a Zelda game could be. But that's what I'm concerned more about than like just the map or the graphics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love if they do stick with the kind of survival elements. I'd like a few more of those Eventide Isle kind of situations.
Yes.
Where it's just like, oh, you think you're powerful. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Like have Link get captured by Gerudo or something and all his gear gets taken away, or just some have something happen where he can't use a certain thing. Like that when you make a survival game and like people are naturally building up their inventory to survive and then you take it away, it's so effective. And Breath of the Wild did a good job of, in the rare instance that it did that, it did it in a really fun way. I don't think most games do.
Yeah, like I do feel with some of what Breath of the Wild did as well was, I don't think Nintendo fully knew what the reaction was going to be. Like, I think they knew they had a hit on their hands, but as far as like what parts triumphed and what parts didn't, and yes, I would not be shocked if the like they're generally a pretty good game at, or a pretty good company at, if they actually do listen to customer feedback, then applying that to later games, sometimes they misinterpret it. Like, as much as I love Origami King, literally everything they've done with Paper Mario for 15 years has been misunderstanding what some of the customers want.
They're only listening to my feedback, Neil.
Yes.
It's, yeah. I'm filling out those surveys like there's no tomorrow.
But I know with Breath of the Wild, like I would be curious to see like, out of, I mean, like I think Breath of the Wild is an incredible game, but there's definitely things, like things that are rougher around the edges, and maybe like, I mean, the fact that so many of the shrines were combat shrines and stuff like that, like maybe that is something that you'll see, like percentages of shrine like things that you do, skewing different ways based on what people seem to like the most.
Yeah, maybe put in real dungeons.
Yeah,
that are bigger than a single room. That'd be neat.
I'm almost expecting it at this point.
I don't think they've shown anything in a trailer that should make you expect that.
They haven't shown anything. We've known about this game for so long and seen like a surprising number of trailers for it, and yet know so little about it.
What, E3 2019? So it'll be 3 years since it was announced, right?
3 years and three trailers.
Jeez.
And I have no idea what this game is.
Anyway, the art for this looks incredible. You know where the art looks interesting is Fire Emblem Engage. I won't lie, this game looks very fun. I will play this video game. I'm ready for like a weird new Fire Emblem game that kind of seems like a Three Houses follow-up, but maybe, I don't know. Have we gotten confirmation? I believe the rumors with this were that this was another Koei Tecmo joint and Gus was helping out.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Atelier, but I'm not sure if I have confirmation.
But I know you are the resident Fire Emblem person here, I believe. Mm-hmm. You've been doing it over on the Twitch, playing some old Fire Emblems.
I've been doing it over on the Twitch.
How are you feeling about Engage?
Yeah, so I actually did a trailer analysis deep dive with Jod and Matt Zawodniak, so that should already be up on the NWR TV YouTube channel. So that's like almost like 40 minutes of just us talking about the Fire Emblem. So I'll keep it short here.
I think it's mostly like you and Matt making like astute observations and me sleepily trying to like throw in jokes.
Yeah, and it works really well. Yeah, I am happy with what I saw. I especially with the UI and the map. I thought Three Houses, the legibility of the maps and the map designs were pretty poor overall, despite me loving that game. So
that is the worst part of that game.
Yeah, well, the monastery might be even worse. And the fact that we have a hub world again in Fire Emblem Engage is a concern, though they could make it work. It needs to be smaller, and you have to do less chores. If there's less chores, then I'll be happy. But I like that the weapon triangle seems to be back. I really like the UI again. I think it's really clean. I think it shows all the important information. In fact, it feels like a distilled version of the way the 3DS games would present information to you. And that is only a good thing. I've seen a whole lot of people be upset about the designs for the characters, especially the protagonist. And the protagonist is an acquired taste, but
I kind of, you know what? This game and series is anime as shit. Lean into it.
I guess
there's different flavors of anime.
Right.
Granted, this protagonist definitely has two different flavors going on. Some sort of berry blend.
Give me Joy-Con hair. Let's go.
So far, Fire Emblem, I think, has been a bit more of a not serious tone, but it's had a more down-to-earth palette, and this one is comparatively out there.
And I would say that I agree, but actually, if you look at the history of the series, the tone has kind of been a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, I was going to say, even Three Hopes, which is, the majority of that game is set at war. There's a lot of really dumb jokes in support conversations and cutscenes. Oh,
I guess I mean more artistically than,
well, Fire Emblem 6 Binding Blade. It's a game that we never got here, but it was the idea was to make the characters more youthful because they were targeting a younger audience. And so it was a lot of vibrant colors. A lot of the playable characters are they're very young. And I would say the follow up leans a little bit older, but for the most part, if you look at something like Awakening or Fates or those GBA games I just mentioned, the art style tends to bounce around every now and then. And
yeah,
that's something I enjoy about Fire Emblem. So if the franchise starts to stick with just one tone or one kind of setting, that's when I get concerned. When Fates and Awakening were the end all be all of Fire Emblem and that Warriors game came out and that was the only thing that they were referencing, that's when I was concerned and kind of oh no, where is the series going? Because Fire Emblem is so much more. And Engage seems to pull a lot of influence, obviously, because of the premise from the entire legacy of the series.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy. And I don't think that this is going to be the future of the series forever. So it's fine if this one's a little bit more saturated and bubbly.
Fun. And I think where I could hear people's complaints and would probably echo them is more just it's one thing to not be able to reconcile the protagonist with the characters from the past that they're bringing in, because obviously they all came from different games and they're going to look a little different. But it's hard to reconcile the main character with even the characters from their own universe.
Yes,
which is a bit off-putting to me, but that's, it doesn't matter. This game still looks compelling to me, and I'm interested. I did, after our discussion last night, I did go look up the plot to the original Fire Emblem Warriors after that got brought up in our discussion, and it is almost identical to the plot of this game, which I find interesting.
I do. You know what? I mean, mentioning Fire Emblem Warriors, and it was kind of on the tip of my tongue as we were talking about Fire Emblem as a franchise going forward. They never announced DLC for that game.
There's still Three Hopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll save it for, it'll be Engage DLC.
The first Fire Emblem Warriors had DLC, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it was just characters, right? It wasn't story DLC.
Right. No, it wasn't story. I don't think it was just more characters.
Yeah.
I think DLC costumes and maybe different missions.
Yeah.
It's just more that literally every form of a Nintendo Warriors game has had DLC, I guess, except for Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. It is kind of, and usually they're announced when the game comes out.
Yeah, I would say that it's it's only been a couple of months. We're probably going to get DLC later, but we got more news about Xenoblade Chronicles 3 DLC.
But that was already announced. But Xenoblade Chronicles 3 had a season pass announced before it came out, whereas 3 Hopes has had no DLC. It's sniffed at.
I think maybe they're waiting to tie it into this. Maybe there will be DLC that just changes the logo of Fire Emblem 3 Hopes to Helvetica.
I mean, or it could be like, oh, some characters from Engage show up in 3 Hopes. Like, I guess they could do something like that. But
yeah.
Also, like, this would have been a time to be like, oh yeah, by the way, like, if you're excited for this coming in December, play with some of the characters of Engage before it comes out.
Yeah, you could do a really simple one that's just new skins for all the character that have their hair be two opposite colors.
I'd go back and finish 3 Hopes with that. That sounds fun.
Maybe the original Fire Emblem Warriors didn't have like sell a lot of DLC. I don't know. It is weird. Most Koei Tecmo Nintendo games tend to have DLC.
I don't think the original Fire Emblem Warriors did as well as other. I mean, granted, the other two Nintendo Warriors games are Zelda, so like not the best point of comparison. But
also, I mean, Fire Emblem Warriors did come out on new 3DS, you know, at the height of its powers in 2017.
Right. But it also came out on Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 days, like what, a week before Mario Odyssey?
Oh, was it? OK, I didn't remember when it came out.
Anyway. Moving on to another RPG published by Nintendo. Oh, but wait, surprise! Octopath Traveler 2, coming out on February 24th, 2023, is being published by Square Enix, not Nintendo.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest headline. I mean, there is more than the game itself.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing like this actually leaked a little bit before the direct that Octopath Traveler 2 existed. And it was like that wasn't a surprise. Like I think they actually announced that Octopath Traveler across all platforms has sold over 3 million units, which is honestly incredible. Like I think like what a Fire Emblem game has sold over 3 million or something like that.
Yeah.
If Xenoblade 3 got to 3 million, like it would be the best selling Xeno game ever made.
Yeah.
So like Octopath Traveler, you know, was a success. So it is absolutely not a shock that they're making a sequel to it. Mm-hmm. I do think it is really shocking that Nintendo is not publishing at all.
Yeah.
Well, the thing to remember there is that this game is also coming out on PS4 and PS5, presumably day and date with the Switch version. NPC, yeah. Weirdly, not Xbox, which did get the first one, which PlayStation didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that was announced at their direct yesterday. I don't think
it was.
Okay.
This confirms that Sony is buying Square Enix.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe it is something so
that's a
that,
weird move.
Yeah, Square Enix in their whatever form they are in, that they're releasing like a game every other week. I don't know if this is any kind of negative portent to their relationship with Nintendo, but it could just be that Square Enix is no longer is going to be potentially putting their games out on their own without, you know, the aid of first party outside of Japan.
I mean, it could also be that, you know, with the first one, maybe there was some element of let Nintendo take some of the risk on this.
Yeah.
But then it sold really well and they said, okay, never mind.
The mobile game. The mobile game that came out, I think it came out in Japan before, but it came out in America a couple months ago, which is supposed to be pretty good. I mean, like, it's a gacha RPG, but it's got like the entire Octopath battle system. And as someone that could very much hear an argument that the Octopath battle system is probably the best thing about that game next to the soundtrack, you know, that mobile game doesn't sound that bad. but I did like, I'm really excited for this game, and you guys should play Octopath Traveler 1 with me and Jordan. We can talk about it on the podcast. But yeah, cool about Octopath. I'll mention the other Square Enix thing. I mean, there was like 15 other Square Enix games because they are, I think, putting out 4 times as many games as Nintendo over the next 6 months on Switch.
They're competing with Bandai Namco for just most Switch games.
At least, I mean, I'm excited for Crisis Core, which did that have a... I knew we knew it was coming out this year,
that's
but December
a new
13th.
Release date.
Yeah,
this
December
is 13th. The first we've seen the release date.
Excited for Crisis Core. Going to play that. And then probably one of my underrated favorite announcements of the entire direct that I kind of keep on forgetting, Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line, which is coming out right before Triangle Strategy on February 16th, or Octopath Traveler 2 on February 16th, and has a stupid amount of DLC planned that I will buy all of it.
Is this a brand new theaterism, or is this like the same one from 3DS?
It appears to be a brand new theaterism game.
Okay.
I think I was looking at something, so there are 385 total tracks in theaterism Final Bar Line, the Switch game. I think it's something like, including the DLC on the last 3DS game, I think there were only over 300. So right off the bat, Final Bar Line has more content than all of the 3DS game, and then also has like 90 additional DLC songs.
I like that they're playing from outside of just Final Fantasy.
They do that with the DLC for the 3DS games. Like you could get Live Alive songs on 3DS 10 years before it came out on Switch. And I know there were some Bravely Default songs, some Chrono Trigger songs. No Chrono Cross songs in the old one, but there are Chrono Cross songs for 3DRhythm Final Bar Line, which makes it potential GOTY for 2023. Like really. theaterism Final Fantasy Curtain Call is one of my favorite 3DS games and one of my favorite rhythm games of all time. I'm very, very excited for this game.
I don't usually go for rhythm games, but if I were, then this is probably the one to pick up.
Any other Square Enix things, since they legitimately did have like five announcements
here? Various Day Life.
Various Day Life is an Apple Arcade game that you shouldn't buy. There's a Harvestella demo. That's cool. I need to play that. I can play that and then figure out if I'm going to buy the game or not, because I'm really happy that there's a demo, because it's going to answer a question for me. Do I actually want to play this game? The remake of Romancing Saga 1, Minstrel Song, which I think was a PS2 remake that's coming out on December 1st. I will play that. Saga games are good.
Was that in this?
Briefly. I think it got released in the montage.
I totally missed that.
Yeah. Tales of Symphonia Remastered, not a Square Enix game, but an RPG. Any of us excited for Tales of Symphonia Remastered?
I mean, GameCube games are neat. I played this a long time ago. I don't remember if I liked it or not.
I liked it on GameCube when it ran at 60 frames per second and astoundingly cannot run at 60 frames per second on Switch.
Oh. And it doesn't feel like it kind of looks like the GameCube game running in HD. Like it's not like a remake.
I think so. I actually like looked at it because I did see like people talking about how like, what the hell, how is this game running at 30 frames per second when on GameCube 20 years ago it was running at 60 frames per second. I believe the remastered version is based off of a PS2 port that was like visually ran at 30 frames per second.
I think the PS2 port had like more content.
That was it.
Ugh. You know who did that but did it well? Resident Evil 4 on the Wii.
Yes, it did.
It put all of the PS2 content into the GameCube version.
Yep. Capcom does great. What band name can't.
They're just really good at porting Resident Evil. But well, actually, they've gotten worse because suddenly now they're all cloud versions.
Yeah, there's a lot of Resident Evil games coming out of Switch, but not in the way you want.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, Village. I just remember like there was like Donald was like, "Oh, sweet, Village is coming to Switch," and then I think it was me and Matt just replied cloud, and he was like, "Damn it." But yeah, Village is coming to Switch in the cloud on October 28th. There's a demo. Did anybody try the demo?
No.
And then Resident Evil 7, 2, and 3 are all coming in the cloud as well at some point this year.
Like, so what's frustrating is that these games, like, they run in the same engine as Monster Hunter Rise. An engine that we know not only works on Switch, but like really works on Switch.
Yeah,
like is one of the more impressive looking Switch engines.
And I feel like it's a Resident Evil game. I think the Resident Evil game sell pretty well on Switch. So why wouldn't you put the extra resources in? It's a real Kingdom Hearts situation.
Yeah, you'll notice that Square Enix, not a single cloud game. So again, I'm pretty sure Square Enix learned their lesson after
I pledge, a couple. If Final Fantasy VII Remake has a Cloud Edition, I will review it.
And I pledge to change whatever score you give it to a 1. Because I believe that should be our policy. I also just think it's
very funny that it would be the Final Fantasy VII Remake Cloud version.
Can they resist the temptation?
We have some other Nintendo announcements, and then we can talk about what Nintendo's lineup looks like. It's weird. Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe, Wii game from 2011, I believe, 2012. I forget when exactly they came out. That is coming to Switch in February next year. They're adding a Mecha Kirby copy ability. That seems cool. I'm on board for that game. My oldest son is at the very end of Star Allies, so excitement will be high for this video game in my household.
It does look like it's a bit more of a this. Unlike some of the other, like Skyward Sword and Galaxy and stuff like that, this doesn't just look like the Wii version running in emulation. There's some graphical changes here that actually look really, really nice. I was impressed by that.
Yeah. And then we got N64 updates. We got, we speculated before, Nintendo Switch Online, they got to do their annual pitch to get people to continue to renew. Keep their subscriptions going. We all speculated, Game Boy, maybe GameCube was something that I saw people talking about in the past week or so. Nintendo said, screw that, we're gonna bring you out GoldenEye,
which,
and Pokemon Stadium.
This is one of the weaker
It's funny pitches. Because they basically are like, here are the N64 games that are gonna be, because they've been consistent about doing one a month.
Yeah.
And they essentially announced the next like six, I think it's take you to May.
Right. None of these shadow dropped. Like it was just, here's our release schedule.
And what I love about it is that it's, so the 2022 lineup appears to be GoldenEye, Pilot Wing 64, which that's awesome. I love that game. Mario Party and Mario Party 2. And then don't worry, if you wanted more Mario Party, there's Mario Party 3 in 2023, along with two Pokemon Stadium games, 1080 Snowboarding and Excite Bike 64. It is cool that those games are coming out. The Pokemon Stadium games are severely handicapped by not having any compatibility with Game Boy games.
Yep. If they had shadow dropped GoldenEye on the day, or shadow dropped like all three Mario Parties on the day, like that might have been something. But this is literally just the release schedule. Like there's no new system,
a big
no
deal. Like
Gold, sure, it's neat, but once again, it's not like, here's why you need to resubscribe right now. Like,
yeah, I did not expect to get the here's Super Mario All-Stars on NSO, which was basically the renewal pitch in 2020. Because the initial, we had 2018 was NES, 2019 was Super Nintendo, 2020 was Mario All-Stars, 2021 was expansion pack with 64 and Genesis, and 2022 is GoldenEye.
But was All-Stars shadow dropped, or did that come out later?
All-Stars was shadow dropped because that was a Mario Direct.
For me, this actually manages to outdo 2020 as the least impressive September, please keep your NSO subscription. Because nothing actually happened.
If GoldenEye comes out before the end of the month.
Sure, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Because I believe an N64 game will be out in the next 2 weeks.
It'll be a Mario Party.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, this is a symptom of the first initial deck of N64 games were all like the heavy hitters, and now it's the B team, and I can't get excited for just about any of these.
I'll play GoldenEye, but like, if you haven't played Excitebike 64 or 1080 or Pilot Wings, like all three of those games are pretty good. I would say in a similar way that Wave Race is good, in that if you played it when you were younger, it's going to be incredible to revisit it. If you didn't, you might be able to appreciate it for what it was from 25 years ago, but like your mileage may vary. Excitebike 64 is really good.
Yeah, Wave Race I didn't play until later in life, but I still feel like that holds up really well. I I honestly can't say the same for 1080. 1080, I think, is kind of...
Yeah, I haven't played 1080 64 in a very, very long time. For me, Wave Race, I'd like the 64 version, but the GameCube version was where I'd spent a lot more time with it. Yeah. So that's the one that's more near and dear to my heart.
I think 1080 probably suffers a lot from just existing now. Like, 1080 was probably fine at the time, and then, like, SSX came out. And, like, that's it. Like, it's hard to play any other snowboard game. I mean, 1080
also, because if memory serves, like, 1080 is less trick based. And like, it came out before Tony Hawk, or around the same time as Tony Hawk, where Tony Hawk kind of like redefined what an extreme sports game was in a way that everybody then followed for a while. And that's kind of how you got SSX, was taking some of those learnings of Tony Hawk and then putting it into a downhill snowboarding game.
It does have 1080 does have Star Fox lineage, though, so it gets a point for that.
It's got some Giles Goddard. I played some Carve snowboarding. That's what I'll do instead of playing 1080 64.
That probably a better idea.
I mean, it's Carve snowboarding is very fun.
Yeah. The other thing with GoldenEye, people pointed out that the Switch version has online multiplayer and the Xbox version doesn't. This is probably not the case that Xbox was like, nah, fam, you can have the best version. Probably just the case that online multiplayer is hardwired into the NSO apps. And they can't take it out. So it's not like they're going to have online lobby systems or anything. It'll just be the same online multiplayer every NSO game has. Whereas on Xbox, that's not a thing that's built into the game automatically. So they would have had to like set up servers for it. And that's probably not worth it. Weirdly, the Xbox version is the same version the Switch is getting. Like it's just the N64 one. It is not the unreleased Xbox Live Arcade version.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of what we expected this would be, because this leaked a long time ago. So that's interesting that was the way they went, because they ultimately come out of this with, even though the online multiplayer won't be that great on NSO, Xbox does come out of this with kind of objectively the worst version, outside of running in 4K, but it's an N64 game. Like, it doesn't make a huge difference. So that's a little odd.
I think that kind of does it for a lot of the direct stuff. I mean, I think overall, like, there were a lot of games in here. There's probably a game that we did not talk about that you're like, yo, man, I can't wait for Master Detective Archives Rain Code, or the Fatal Frame game coming out in English for the first time, I think.
Is that a new game, or is that a game that already existed?
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, fair.
I believe that Fatal Frame game was a Wii game that only came out in Japan.
It was a Wii game?
I believe so. Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, I believe, was a game that was published by Nintendo in Japan.
Interesting. I'll Google it. Oh, yeah. That's a Wii logo.
Yep.
Well, they did a very nice job remastering that.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the Direct?
These could have been Twitter drops.
It could have been a Direct Mini, and I understand why they didn't make it a Direct Mini, but it would have been a pretty solid Direct Mini as opposed to a pretty weak full-scale Direct. And I think their NSO offerings to get people to resubscribe are legitimately, like, actually a mistake.
I did not.
Pikmin deserves better.
It's weird that Pikmin was even announced at this.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said earlier, I'm very excited for Pikmin 4. I've got some notes about the way it was revealed and what they showed.
Agreed. Agreed.
Because in the past like couple weeks, I've had the urge to replay Pikmin 3. And because like, damn, that game's really good.
Pikmin 3 really does. I've said before, Pikmin 3 is like the Super Mario Brothers 3 of the Pikmin series, where it takes the best things about the first two, gets rid of everything that didn't work about the first two, and just nails it.
Just slaps.
And that's why I kind of feel like if Pikmin 4 wants to do something different, that's okay.
If Pikmin 4 wants to be Super Mario World, have a Pikmin riding Yoshi.
Yeah. Olimar now rides the Pikmin.
Oh my god.
That's where they are.
There's a new Pikmin that's just Yoshi. And Olimar rides him around. I'm in. I'm so in. No, so I do want to talk about, because we had our, two episodes ago, I believe we talked about our predictions for the Direct. And there were certain things that, I'll be real, I thought were going to be in this Direct, and they did not happen. Like, say, Game Boy and Nintendo Switch Online, which, I mean, by whatever reasons, Nintendo thought that GoldenEye was the bigger bullet in the chamber for people wanting to keep their subscriptions for NSO.
They probably spent all their money on it.
Yeah, they're probably like, all right, we can't do Game Boy games. We spent all this money giving it to Barbara Broccoli or whoever.
You do pour one out for my two Game Boy NSO videos that will stay unlisted on our YouTube channel for a second year.
I thought it was going to happen, man. I thought it was going to happen. And the other thing is Metroid Prime 1 Remaster.
In that case, pour one out for the several hours of Metroid Prime comparison footage sitting in our Google Drive that will go unused for another year. You know what's funny, Neil? I won't talk about exactly what we called early for this Direct because I, you know, don't want to out sources or anything. But I think I got more games right in this Direct than you did, which is probably a first in site history.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there was one that I was not totally confident about, but I was totally right as to how what was announced. But we'll speak in vagaries. But yeah,
just know that this is the one time I beat Neil. It's the only time I beat Neil in like my sources got it right and yours didn't. So I just need to enjoy it.
There was no Star Fox game though, so.
I didn't say there would be a Star. I like that's not something any source said. I just know there's a Star Fox game in development.
I will
not that it would be here.
So my thing when it comes to Metroid Prime 1, like the you know remaster thing that has been talked about ad nauseum by mostly everybody who covers Nintendo on the internet. I'm legitimately baffled. 20th anniversary for Metroid Prime is November. And looking at Nintendo's holiday lineup from September to December, currently they are publishing three games, which is I haven't actually looked this up. I think that is, if this sticks, this is the lightest year they I think it's the lightest last 4 months of the year that they've ever had. I don't think it'll stick. I do think the thing that would be on the radar for an early December would be the equivalent of Big Brain Academy. Like I think there's a distinct lack when you look at their holiday lineup, and granted, this isn't to take away the fact that I do think the first half of the year was pretty packed. You had Arceus, you had Forgotten Land, Switch Sports still selling very well and is gonna continue to sell. Strikers, I don't think quite like I've seen that discounted already. So like that probably didn't set the world on fire. You had Three Hopes, Xenoblade. And now Splatoon at the start of September, which is already selling gangbusters in Japan, not to discount 2022, because I think it's a strong year in totality. But just looking at it from like a Q4 perspective, like they have an M-rated prestige game in Bayonetta 3 and they have Pokemon, which is huge. But like and then outside of the Q4 window slightly is Splatoon 3, which is, you know, a should be a juggernaut. But like that's missing a pretty clear, broader all ages play. I do think Pokemon's an all ages play, but I don't think it's not the same as a Clubhouse Games or a Big Brain Academy or even a Mario Party.
Don't worry, they're going to announce Advance Wars release date soon. It's going to happen.
But even that's not coming out in Japan. Although I think I guess counter
at
for
this
Japan
point,
is,
hopefully they've localized it. They've had enough
time.
I
think it is important to look at it and that some of the Nintendo planning happens from Japan, which is why Xenoblade 3 essentially kneecapped Live Alive, because why would Nintendo care about Live Alive that's published by Square Enix in Japan? I believe Mario plus Rabbids is published by Nintendo in Japan. like that, and like that's like half a first party game. But even still, yeah. like I feel like there is a hole for a game or two, and I'm surprised that even if it wasn't Metroid Prime 1, which you know what, honestly, that could get a Twitter drop in a week, which would be weird.
But it would be 100% something Nintendo would do. Will is have something next week that would have been like, wait, why wasn't that? That would have been a great ending for that direct you just did.
Yeah. Wait. So you spent 5 minutes on Pikmin Bloom and you couldn't be like Metroid Prime 1's coming out in late November.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a perfect time for a Ring Fit Adventure 2.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
I would be very excited for that. Maybe even more excited for that than Metroid Prime 1.
Let's not get crazy.
But like I do, I'm more baffled that Metroid Prime 1 did not show up, but also just did a general thing that like Nintendo literally had nothing outside of like, here's a new character for Xenoblade and some Mario Kart tracks that might come out in the next 4 months. Did nothing else for this year outside of what's ahead, Bayonetta 3 and Pokemon. And yeah. I'm excited for both of those games. Don't get me wrong, but like Emery and Prestige game and Pokemon does not.
There's a very clear portion of the audience that isn't being served by either of those games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But, and it happens to be a Metroid portion of the audience.
Yeah. A Metroid portion and like a Ring Fit portion. Maybe that's what I'll lay down is that Nintendo at some point will just be like, I don't know, man, Ring Fit Adventure 2 out October 15th. Metroid Prime 1 remaster out like November 22nd.
They could always release 1-2 Switch 2.
Yeah, I mean that could be another one. Or Advance Wars will finally come out in the West. Like that would kind of be something that could or should happen.
We need to keep Advance Wars away from our children. That game just destroys lives and needs to be locked away.
So I guess this might some of this view. I mean, I'm focusing on this holiday, but I think a listener mail from Cherry Goblin it kind of speaks into a broader topic related to that. Cherry Goblin says, I noticed a lot of 2023 games in this direct. How do you feel about the Switch going into its seventh year? Does it feel we are approaching the twilight era of the Switch?
I think we should be.
Like, what is a twilight era?
Right, surely we are approaching kind of the slowdown.
I actually
there just isn't a lot of evidence of it happening yet.
So
like, we must be.
My kind of take on this, and once again, why I'm still shocked that they don't have other games coming up this holiday. I think this is going to be the last big, like, not that it will be the last holiday for Switch, but I think it is all downhill after this year. And I actually look for comparison, and you know, this is in the fanciful world where Nintendo follows up the Switch well, which Nintendo I don't think has ever followed up a successful home console, or they haven't followed up a successful home console with another successful home console in like 25 years. I think you can make the argument the N64 was maybe a little bit successful, GameCube was not as successful, Wii was a huge success, Wii U was a huge failure. So the odds are not in Switch 2's favor, but if they were to do that, PlayStation 4, I like looked at the annual sales, kind of did some approximation, and I believe the PlayStation 4 sales reached like their peak like annually in like 2017, 2018, and then like declined for 2 years, and then PS5 came out. So with that in mind, I think that this holiday will be like the last of kind of like that peak time period for Switch sales. I think the next 2 years will be, you know, not it's not going to go from like, you know, it sold 400,000 units in 2023. I don't think it's still going to sell very well. But I think it'll have a decline over the next 2 years, and then we'll see new hardware in like 2025.
Yep. We've already had our Paper Mario for this system, so I think we already are in the twilight years.
I think we will have another Paper Mario.
On Switch?
Probably.
Has that ever happened? Is that legal?
I mean, Super Paper Mario almost was on GameCube. And technically, Sticker Star was in the same era.
Does that Paper Jam game count?
Yeah, Sticker Star and Paper Jam are both on the same series.
They're like equally console, they're equally Paper Mario games.
I mean, one of them is good and one of them is bad.
Which one?
I'll be honest. I kind of like Paper Jam. It's probably of that 3DS era of Mario and Luigi games. It might be one of my favorites. But yeah, I mean, I think 2023 is going to be like, we haven't seen a follow up to Mario Odyssey on the Nintendo Switch. We have not seen the Mario Kart team make another game since ARMS and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I mean, they're technically done. They made Mario Kart 4.
Booster Course, maybe.
After you make Mario Kart 8, they were just like, well, I guess you've just made all of the money forever, so you guys are good. You don't have to make games anymore. We'll just keep paying you.
I mean, I stand by the fact that I actually think Nintendo might be seriously doing this. Like, if you look at the fact that they have the Booster Course packs basically planned out until the Switch is probably going to be truly in its twilight. You have that Mario Kart team work on a Mario Kart team game to come out the first year of the new system.
Oh yeah.
That is like billions of dollars.
Yeah, that is the play for sure.
But yeah, like, I mean, there's a Mario movie coming out next year. I imagine they're going to have Mario games to go alongside their Mario movie.
And they may be holding off on the Odyssey follow-up until.
Yeah.
The movie. Until,
yeah. But like, that's something that, I mean, we will likely see that on Switch. And I'm curious to see how a lot of these things perform, because typically like a second entry of a game doesn't sell as much as the first entry of the game. Some of that's longevity. And I think Splatoon 3's early results, especially in Japan, Splatoon 3 might top Splatoon 2 sales way easier than I thought it would.
I'm disappointed in all of you for being enablers.
I mean, it's still like 3.5 million units in a weekend in Japan.
Yeah,
it's insanity.
It's stupid. Yeah.
It's a good game. Please play Salmon Run with me.
Oh yeah, no, dude, we should totally play Salmon Run. I have not played Salmon Run yet because I want to play it with friends.
Yeah,
I guess to update
Neil's
everybody.
The worst kind of fan because he demands that Salmon Run be playable at any time, and then they do, and then he doesn't play Salmon Run.
It's more, I haven't really had an opportunity to like organize online to play with friends, and I do not want to play Salmon Run with randoms. That does not sound as fun. Instead, I just get really mad about the level up ramp from like 1 to 4 in that game, and then once I get past that point, I'm like, oh cool, I can just like play a couple matches before I go to bed, and that's good. I did crack and buy Splatoon 3, obviously. I think Matt's review hit the nail on the head. It's a solid 8.
Yeah, it's a good review. It highlighted all of the things that I didn't want, so like I'm still confident in not buying it, but it was a well-written review, and I think his score is fair based on what he said. The comments are really mad at him for some reason for giving a score that is in line with the Metacritic average, but whatever.
And is a very positive score.
And is a positive score, yeah. But
8 is very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, 2023 should still be a pretty big year for Switch.
Yeah, I think maybe after Tears of the Kingdom, we might see it wind down quite a bit.
Maybe my prediction about this year being the last big holiday is a little off. Maybe 2023 is going to be, maybe that's why 2022 is a little lighter, is because they're gearing up for like, all right, we're going to fire everything and then prep for the next, like everything that we have kind of in the chamber, and then get ready for the next console.
It does make sense to try and stagger things because they do, like 2017 was such a killer year that all of the sequels to those games could theoretically be ready around the same time. So it does make sense to kind of like, let's spread this out. Like, let's do Splatoon now. Zelda, you can wait.
And Mario, do Xenoblade. Who knows? Who knows what Mario's doing, man? But we got one more listener mail, and then we can get out of here and maybe go play the Harvestella demo. Whittlecap64 says, I remember a couple of years ago Nintendo announcing that they were going to make 64 gig cartridges for the Switch. Do you think this is still happening? Also, with an announcement of a Pokemon Scarlet and Violet OLED model Switch, does this dismiss the chance of a Pokemon Switch Lite? Let's tackle the first one. No, 64 gig carts never were made.
They do not appear to. Contrary to what Wikipedia says, which is unsourced, there is no evidence that they exist.
I think it might have been something that was bandied about. I seem to recall something with like, because Rockstar brought L.A. Noire to Switch, and I guess they did technically bring those terrible ports of the Grand Theft Auto 3 games.
Some of the games I was happiest to delete off of my system after I was done making a video about them.
GTA, like I think like GTA 4 or 5 was something that was in talks to come to Switch, but I think I don't know if it was Nintendo didn't want to cut them any kind of deal on 32 gig cards, or maybe they were pushing to have a 64 gig card and the price couldn't work out. I don't know exactly, but I'm very, very confident that 64 gig cards on Switch do not exist.
Yeah, and to be clear, you're correct that they were announced. They were announced and they were formally delayed. And last we knew, they were supposed to come out in 2020. But that doesn't appear to have happened. And no game that has come out has been on one.
Yeah, and I don't even think, I think the 32 gig cards themselves are also pretty prohibitively expensive. I don't think a lot of games use them.
They seem to be like, I mean, Witcher 3 is famously on one, but Witcher 3 also quietly has some Nintendo money behind it. I think Nintendo was invested in that game being on the cartridge and on their system.
Probably cut some sort of, you know, maybe Nintendo limited their how much light of a licensing fee they got for the cards or something like that. I don't think there will be a Pokemon Switch Lite tied to Scarlet and Violet out in 2022. It'll probably be a Pokemon Switch Lite at some point in the future.
There has been one, hasn't there?
I think there was one for, was there one for Diamond and Pearl?
Hang on. I feel like I've seen one. I think it's gray. It's got Zacian and Zamazin.
That was for Sword and Shield.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scarlet and Violet, I mean, clearly they're getting the OLED model, which looks pretty good, damn it. But I would imagine they're probably not going to come out of the Lite. I also think there's something to be said with the fact that the Lite model is the worst selling version of the Switch. I mean, for good reason. It cuts out part of the appeal of the damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very nice. I find it a very comfortable system. I think it looks nice, but it doesn't quite hit the appeal that the other models of the Switch do.
Yeah.
And the OLED is so darn nice.
It's a very nice system. I like it a lot.
I want one eventually.
Maybe they'll make a Switch Lite OLED model.
I mean, yeah, that kind of makes sense considering
that
the OLED
that
screen
could be
is
a super late era. Super late era Switch thing. What annoys me about the Switch Lite is that if they just like flipped a button in the operating system, you could still hook it up to your TV via any given USB-C to HDMI adapter. They just spitefully don't want you to.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing in the system that prevents it from working with your TV.
Is there nothing in the dock that's special?
No, it's the dock is just a USB-C to HDMI adapter. Early on, Nintendo was breaking your systems if you hooked it up to the wrong one. But that's been patched out. So there's, on a hardware level, nothing prevents the Switch Lite from working with your TV. It's just a little patch that's in that version of the operating system that says no, which is dumb. So they could do a big fancy like Switch Lite upgrade where they just make all Switch Lites compatible with your TV and make them sell better if they wanted to.
Well, I think that it's just about gonna do it. Anything that you guys to tease for the future, anything fun that you're playing, anything you want to showcase, tease, pitch.
No, I did get for, I think it was in the last episode that I talked about my Dreamcast VGA output difficulties. I did get that working.
I purchased
an HDMI adapter specifically for the Dreamcast and then got an HDMI to component adapter and then took that into the retro tank and then just had to adjust some settings to get the image to like be stable and then it worked and it looks beautiful. I played a little bit of Draconis Cult of the Worm tonight.
A game that I learned that existed just before the show.
It is a terrible game, but it has a lot of like late 90s medieval fantasy charm to it. and that game should never be seen via the VGA output. I am noticing so many just like weird glitches that I couldn't see before, but I can sure see them now. But that game is narrated by Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame, and the tutorial guide is George Takei. So 10 out of 10 game.
Talent.
What yeah. an era.
Yep.
I got Shadow of the Colossus for PS4 recently.
Ooh. That's a was that the, no yeah was Shadow of the Colossus the one that was like fully remade?
Yes, yeah, by Blue Point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have not played the fully remade version.
Which is some Retro Studios devs.
Yeah,
it was specifically the video about the Zelda game, the canceled Zelda game for Wii.
Yes, the Did You Know Gaming. Yeah,
that was like I think they said that Eiji Onuma's favorite game that was not Nintendo was Shadow of the Colossus, and so I was like, okay, I had heard about this game. I know
it's a great game.
I love about that
it,
game.
But I want to play it all the way through because I had started it, but I didn't get to finish it because I was borrowing it from a friend. And I returned the games that I borrowed from friends because I'm a good human.
You're a good friend.
Yeah,
Keep me updated on that because that is legitimately, I think, one of the best games ever made.
Even so, on PS2, like it's one of those games that like
I loved it on PS2,
but it's because it's like beautiful because it's a game pushing the PS2 to its very limits, and it's still incredible despite the fact that it's like janky as shit.
It runs at like 20 frames per second,
but it doesn't matter.
Who cares? Yeah,
yeah. No, I mean the PS4 because the full remake is something that I was always curious about, but definitely I did not feel the urge to rush out and play it because I'm like, no, I have that perfect memory of playing that game on PS2. And I think I didn't finish a replay, but I did have the PS3. Was there a yes. 2-pack with that Nico on it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But man, like Shadow of the Colossus is such a good game.
Yeah, and Ico was actually a pretty big influence on, I know Onuma cited that as an influence on Twilight Princess for like the art style. Tons of Zelda relevance in those games.
Yep. And that's what I'm kind of playing it for. So I'll keep an eye out for it. It's almost like my other 3D Zelda game club game.
Yeah.
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 We'll have to do that.
I don't think we have an exact date, but we do have the Discord channel. The 3D Zelda Game Club in our Discord, go to nintendoworldreport.com. There's an article about the 3D Zelda Game Club that should have all the information you need. Tentatively, probably October 7th or 14th might be when we have the Wind Waker episode.
That's just exactly 1 month away.
Yeah.
Luckily, Shadow of the Colossus isn't very long. Yeah. You can burn that puppy down.
Yeah. I'll probably actually play that for Twilight Princess.
I've been playing Easy Come Easy Golf, which is the Clap Hands golf game that is like an adaptation of their Apple Arcade release, and also Clap Hands Golf. Clap Hands is the company that made Hot Shots Golf / Everybody's Golf on PlayStation platforms, and does have ties to Like people left Camelot or something like that, because I think Camelot made the first Hot Shots Golf, and then Camelot started making Mario Golf games, and then Clap Hands started making Hot Shots / Everybody's Golf games, and then on Apple Arcade, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, they had a game come out that was extremely good, and I think the Switch version that is called Easy Come Easy Golf, which is kind of a bad name, it does not have the greatest UI in the world, but the golf gameplay is superb. I think it's a very good video game, and I'm looking forward to play more of it, even after I like played a couple hours of it on Apple Arcade.
Cool.
It's a better golf game than Super Rush. Although Super Rush definitely is visually more intriguing.
N64 Mario Golf is right there. It's fun. I played the mini golf mode on Twitch recently.
I think I'd rather play Toadstool Tour or the 3DS one if I was going, because I felt like Mario Tennis on N64 held up very well, whereas Mario Golf, definitely, I was like, oh, like, there are some quality of life things in later golf games that I am missing here.
I agree.
I still like Mario Golf, but I think that that iteration is a little rougher around the edges. All right, well, that's going to do us for this episode of Connectivity. If you want to review us on your pod thing of choice. I think we're on all of them. Something like that. I don't know.
If we're not, then let me know, because it means I updated the XML file wrong.
You can email us your listener mail at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at @connectivitynwr. Hopefully, I want to play Metroid Prime on Switch.
I'm just going to play it on. I started playing it to get comparison footage for the remake that doesn't exist. And honestly, I might just finish it.
Yeah, I might break down, because that's honestly part of my thing of like, I would like to replay this game, but if it's coming to Switch soon, that'll hold off. And that's been going on for 5 years.
I'm just going to be the sacrificial lamb. I'll summon it by playing.
I'll try to help too. I'll try to pitch in. Yeah. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Sean. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.